Love you, Lord.
I love.
Do you love the Lord?
And I live my voice to worship Him, oh my soul.
Let it be a sweet sound in his ears.
Amen.
Try to cast all your cares on him tonight.
Amen.
Forget your day. Forget your struggle. Let's just try to enter into his presence. Amen. If you can take your Bibles and turn to Joshua 24, we'll have a word of prayer as we're playing softly. Amen. Lord is good to us. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you. We stand here, Lord, as the redeemed. The ones that love you with all of our heart. The ones that's going to serve you regardless of what the world's doing. Lord, you put us here for a special time. For a time such as this, only a certain group of people will be standing. And Lord, we want to be focused on why we're here. Lord, we know the world's in a turmoil, but our lives do not have to be that way. Our lives can have peace, love, and joy, and forgiveness. We can have all the things that you said we could have, and we believe we've got it. Lord, we stand here under the resurrected power of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Lord, who come to give us the same strength and anointing. Lord, may you take the words of life and encourage our heart to show the way to those who are suffering.
Yes.
Show the way to those who are struggling.
Yes.
Lord, to meet their needs. Lord, each one has their situation to deal with tonight, and I'm praying that you come. Lord, because I realize every day that people are struggling with something. But help us, Lord, to be focused on what you've done for us in this word. And we'll give you the praise and all the honor in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. In Joshua chapter 24, while you're turning there, Lord willing, we're going to have Thanksgiving meetings. And Brother George Martin is going to be the speaker.
Amen.
So you pray for the meetings. And I'm not trying to disrupt anybody's plans. If you travel on Thanksgiving, that's okay. For all of us who stays here, we're going to have Thanksgiving service.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So the Lord bless you.
Amen.
Amen. We'll just continue on. We don't know yet if we'll use this building or we'll use another building. That's yet to be decided. So, but Lord willing, Thanksgiving, Brother George Martin will be with us. You can tell others about it to help spread the word.
Amen.
Amen. We don't want to forget to pray for Brother Andy. That God will meet his needs. And Lord willing, what I'm looking at, if the church will, those who want to, we're not making you, but those who want to fast and pray with us, I think Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this coming week, because Wednesday night is our prayer service. And what a better time than that to have prayer for our brother who needs us to pray right now. Amen. We know that Joseph, as I've been preaching about, was thrown in jail. And he didn't need to be there. We didn't think. But God used it for his glory.
Amen.
Amen. So you just pray for our precious brother and that God will see him through this trial that he's in.
Amen.
Tonight in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14, and I want to continue and call this maybe part three of Power Paradox of Forgiveness and just speak a little bit more about the forgiveness of God. But in Joshua chapter 24 and 14, it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord.
Amen.
And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Amen.
"And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which God did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed."
Amen.
The Lord bless you. You can be seated. Just to look at this a little bit tonight, we know that God is doing miraculous things. And as we search the Scripture and we search the message, we know that God is continually making way for the believer. And the believer is always anticipating what God's going to do next. At least every believer should be anticipating what God's going to do next. And if you can just be on that positive side of what God is doing, you'll understand that the power that we have, that God gives us, the paradox of forgiveness is how that Brother Branham makes a comment. He says, what takes a man who's a sinner, who's a liar, who's a thief, who's a whoremonger, who's an adulterer, and in a moment of time, he changes it from that to being a Christian?
Amen.
That's a paradox within itself. You can't do that on your own.
Amen.
But when the power of God comes into your life, He transforms you from the inside out. So when God does the transformation, He does something so powerful that only you can understand that God did something inside of you.
Amen.
Then what God does on the inside of you begins to work to the outside of you.
Amen.
And when the outside begins to portray what Christ did on the inside, it makes such a difference in how you live, how you walk, how you act, where you go, and all the things you do. Everything changes.
Amen.
Because the God that we serve causes that paradox to take control of our lives. And when He does that, God does something so miraculous that the old man has to die. The old man has to die. And when the old man dies, there's a resurrection. And that resurrection is by Jesus Christ. I was reading through the message where Brother Branham preached conflict between God and Satan, and it's quite a message. And as I listened to him talking about the different things and how that God began to work through the warfares and all the different things, he talked about how that when they came to a certain point, now Moses brought them out of Egypt, but Joshua took them into the promised land.
Yeah.
And how that God knows what we're doing here today. We know that the Holy Spirit is here to take us into the promised word that we're in today. And not only that, it's going to take us into the rapture.
Yeah.
And so the bride of Jesus Christ, he said that when they got to a certain place, they got to Kadesh Barnea. First, there was a man come out of the country, you might say, his name was Moses, and he did the different signs to get the people's attention to show them that God was leading him. Brother Branham said it this way, he said, but when Moses came, the light was following him.
Amen.
Why? These signs shall follow them.
Amen.
That what? Believe.
Amen.
So the sign, the pillar of fire, was following Moses as he walked into the camp, started telling them about the power of God. And as he did the different things that he was supposed to do, God vindicated what the prophet said would come to pass. And he said he led them out to Kadesh Barnea, and he said, that's the judgment seat. It was at that day of the world. Kadesh Barnea, it was a place where there was a great big spring and many little springs, little tributaries to this spring. And I'll say to you tonight that we are all springs. He talked about there would be a spring of water. And we're a lot of little springs. Where are we going? To the big spring. And what happens when you get them all together? It becomes a river. Amen. So out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Where does it come from? Jesus Christ. Amen. If you become that little spring, watch God let you flow right into the presence of His Spirit and lead you and guide you. He said, well, there they had a man among them, a great warrior named Joshua. And Joshua is Jehovah's Savior. And Joshua went over into the promised land. Now remember, none of them had never been there. They'd never been there, but they were going to get a report back. He said, and Joshua went over into the promised land, and remember, none of them had never been there. He said they didn't know whether the land was actually there or not. Just by faith. Amen. You've not been to heaven, but by faith, amen, you believe you're going there. These people are believing something they've never seen, but they keep hearing there's a promised land. It flows with milk and honey. We're going to get there. We're going to do this. And God's showing Joshua, and Joshua actually goes in. And he goes in there, and what does he do? When he gets inside, he tastes of the fruit. He tastes of the milk. He tastes of all the pleasures of God. And he comes back, and he brings back the evidence that what God has said is really true. Brothers and sisters, you got to believe that what God is telling us is really true. We believe, now listen, we hear the stories of creation. You believe that God created Adam out of the dust of the earth? Amen. You believe that Noah built the ark? Amen. You believe all that? Amen. You say, yeah, I believe it because the Bible said so. Amen. Here's Joshua. Moses is going to bring him out by a mighty hand, but Joshua's going to lead him into the promised land there. And he come back with the evidence. So we believe the stories. Did David kill a Goliath? Amen. Did Joseph save the people from starvation? Amen. Did all these things happen in the Scripture? Amen. So then we can believe all these things because we see the completion of what was written in the story. Amen. And many times you read the story and you wonder, how's it going to turn out? You start hearing different stories. And when you hear the completion of the story, it's easy to believe that. But here we are, God has told us there's going to be a rapture. Amen. We're still here. But do you believe it? Amen. I'd say you say amen because you're here tonight. You're still going to church. You're still worshiping God. You believe it. But you see, we see the completion by revelation. Amen. We see the completion by faith. Amen. So Joshua comes back with the evidence. They believe there was a land, but Joshua come back with the evidence that there was a land. Brother Branham goes on to say that there was another great warrior, and his name was Jesus. And Jesus, there is a land that a man don't die. So when Jesus goes to the cross of Calvary, and he dies on the cross, he goes into hell, he takes the keys away from the devil, he comes back, and he tells them to give him something to eat. He says, you know, here I am, flesh and blood. He says, give me something to eat because I'm telling you there's a land beyond the river. Amen. Where the dead saints are living. Amen. And they're going to be able to eat again. Amen. They'll be able to worship again. He said, it's a real place and I'm bringing you back the evidence. Amen. Jesus come back, and Brother Bram said that Jesus was the evidence himself, but there's a land beyond the river. Amen. So we stand here tonight believing that Jesus died, rose again, and brought back the evidence that we can live by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Branham said we're already resurrected with Him. Amen. In the power of the Holy Ghost. We sit together in heavenly places. What is that? That's God dwelling inside of us. Amen. As I was preaching on Sunday, he was talking and how that God likes to dwell and be with His attributes. Amen. He likes to be with His thoughts. Hello, thoughts. Amen. The thoughts that you were before the foundation of the world, God put us in a manifestation today. So God's now dwelling with His thoughts in the earth again. He said He won't never be alone again because we are with Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you believe that God is doing these things? This message is a paradox to the world. This Bible is actually a paradox to the world. They read it like a history book. There's a lot of history, but it also has the pretense to it too. It has the present tense. It has the future tense. And we're living in a present tense and looking at a future tense. Because we believe the past tense. How many believes there's a past tense in this thing? That we're going to what we can be because Jesus said we would. The enemy cannot stop us. I've heard Brother Marion quote this many times. But in this message, Brother Branham says it. And I think that's where Brother Marion may have got it from. He said, the word of God is what defeats the devil any place, anywhere, anytime, in any condition. So he don't look at your condition how bad you think it is. You look at the condition and think how bad it is. But if you would just get the revelation, God doesn't care how bad your condition is. He sees the victory. He sees his attributes rising up. And the attributes say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen. Why? Because the attribute is, I will live again. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to believe that all that he said was here today for us. He said that Jesus was the evidence of that land there. And he comes on, he says, then on the day of Pentecost, he went back and the earnest of this place. He brought back the earnest of the place that he was talking about. He said the assurance, the evidence that this land is real. He said just like Joshua brought back the evidence, Jesus brought back the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He said, now we reckon ourselves dead. We're buried with him in baptism unto his death. And we raised with him in the resurrection. And now we are already, not we're going to be, we're already raised. He says, oh my, we are now, not will be, we are now tonight sitting in heavenly places. How? In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. If you've got Jesus Christ living inside of you, the devil's got a problem. The devil should have a problem. If Jesus Christ lives and dwells in this mortal body, the devil's got a problem. He says, oh my, he said, we are now, not will be, we are now tonight sitting in heavenly places. How? In Christ Jesus. Not we will be some other time. We are now. The church don't realize who they are. We are now, right this minute, how? In Christ Jesus, assembled together in him, already raised from the dead, our souls is immortal. Not this flesh is immortal. The soul is immortal. Amen. Because if you were with him before the foundation of the world, then you have got the power and the eternal power of Jesus Christ that dwells inside of you right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Now this old flesh is going to give you a problem. But there's a soul inside of there. It cannot sin. The Bible says it cannot sin. A child of God cannot sin. Why? Because they're dedicated and given to power by God. Our soul is immortal, the attribute of God. He comes along. He lets us see all these things. He said, now let's stop just a minute. Here once we used to lie, steal, cheat, fight, cuss, everything else. And then we confess all that sin. My dad, at the age of 19, went to church to beat up somebody. He went by himself. And he's told this story many, many times. And he went to church. He said there was a couple of guys did something. So he went. He had no care for nobody at anything. And he got mad at these guys. And he said he heard that they went down to the church. So he went into the church. And he sat on the back row. He said while he was sitting there, he said the guy started talking to him. At least he thought he was. He said the guy started telling me about every dirty thing I was doing, every deed that I had done. He said the guy just was like telling everybody who I was. And he said, when I got home, he said, it so got a hold of me. He said, I couldn't sleep. He said, I heard that guy's voice preaching to me all night long. He said, the next day at work, he said, I couldn't get that man's voice out of my ears. He said, he was still preaching to me. He said, so he went and he got my mother. He says, listen, you want to go to church tonight? She said, yes. Because she knew he lied, he drunk, he fought, he did all kinds of stuff. And she thought if she can just get him in church. She was tender 15. They're just married now. And they go to church the next night. And they had two preachers there. And he said the next night, the next preacher got up. And he got up and told everybody the other stuff he was doing. He goes, who's telling these guys this stuff? And he said, as he was preaching the word, he said it just kept getting on him and on him. And said people started coming to him and trying to get him to go to the altar. And there was one thing, you don't make my dad do anything. And he stood there, but he was obeying what Brother Branham said, and he didn't even know nothing about the message. Brother Branham said, don't try to make people come to the altar. Let them come on their own. Because if they come on their own, they'll get the results they're looking for. If they come because you cried and said your father died this way and your mother died, that won't help anything. They've got to have a revelation that God is speaking to their heart. And finally, when everybody left him alone, he looked at my mom, and he didn't know what else to say. He said, you want to get saved? Said she didn't say a word. She just moved down the aisle, walked right straight to the altar, and he just went with her. He said, from that day, he said, my life was changed. He didn't drink no more. He didn't cuss no more. He didn't fight like he did anymore. Something happened. He was changed, and I know that because, and he said, people said, he will never, we'll give him 3 months. He met people that knew him. They couldn't believe that he was not cussing, he wasn't fighting, he wasn't running to the beer joints. He was just going to church. And as he went to church and he just began to pray, he hungered for God, that God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And just kept leading him. He completely changed. And people of the world who knew him couldn't believe the paradox that happened to this man, that they knew if you said the wrong thing, he would knock your teeth out. That was a real paradox. Brothers and sisters, this paradox tonight can still do the same thing today. There's a lot of people that's raising up in the church and they're just stillborn. They have no life in them. They just have a confession without any kind of possession. But when they can possess the power of God in their life, you don't have to tell them they're saved. You don't have to tell them they got the Holy Ghost, because God himself will identify that he's done that to them. People need to understand that Jesus Christ is still doing the work today, and he's moving in the lives of people that will yield themselves and confess themselves and ask forgiveness of themselves. And when they can do such a thing, God would come along and change their personality, change their conditions, and all these things will happen. Why? Because God's done something in their life. We don't want our children just to come to church and say, I believe the message because Daddy said so. We don't want them to come to church and just say, I believe Jesus Christ because the pastor said so. I want you to come to church and start thirsting. If you're not thirsting, if you're here for a reason, any other reason, you meet, Brother Ram said you ought to go home. But if you come to church thirsting for life, thirsting for the revelation of the rapture and all these things, I pray God will get a hold of your soul and let you understand you've been chosen. The fact that you're even sitting here tonight, that you've heard the voice of God call you to sit here tonight, is a miracle in itself, because there's billions of people in the earth who's not hearing this word. But Jesus Christ has called you. He's called a group of people that he has called his bride. And that bride is going to yield to him. Brother, she's not going to listen to other voices or any other thing. She's going to be absolutely dealing with his spirit. He comes along and says, once he lied, stole, and cheat, and fight, and curse, and everything else, he said, when we confess all that sin, then we are buried with him in baptism and raised up with him. And when we come up, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the evidence. Amen. There's an evidence. The evidence of this good land. And then that spirit that comes up on us brings us up from that lying, stealing, and all that stuff back there. And now we have raised up with him, now sitting with him up here in heavenly places. Our souls are absolutely already. You believe it?
Amen.
How many's met him?
Amen.
How many knows you've met Jesus Christ?
Amen.
How many knows you? You don't have to raise your hand on this one, but how many knows you got the Holy Ghost? Maybe I should make you raise your hand.
Amen.
We'll pray for the rest of you. Amen. You got to have the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, you can't even receive the revelation of Jesus Christ. He reveals himself to those who are willing to repent. When Brother Branham said, he said, William Branham's been dead for 30 some odd years. I become what? A new creature. When the paradox comes, you change from the old Mike Walls to a new Mike Walls. Now the old Mike Walls, now look, I grew up in church. I grew up chewing my gum and sticking it to the bottom of the benches so I wouldn't get caught. I laid on the floor while Dad was preaching as a little kid, trying to sleep in church. And at a small age, I could hear the voice of God speaking and calling to me. But I would run from that many, many times. But yet there was something kept holding me, kept pulling at me. What was that? Listen, Mike Walls was a sneaky little guy. He had a little bit of a Jacob in him. Every now and then, yeah, watch that guy will sneak up on you. That influence of that old nature, he'll try to get a hold to you. What are you going to do with him? You don't belong here no more. Get out.
Amen.
You've got to put him away. Brothers and sisters, because my dad caught the revelation, didn't give me the revelation. Because I was raised in church from a baby all the way up, that did not give me the Holy Ghost. That did not give me salvation. That gave me an opportunity to hear the Word of God. But brothers and sisters, without God speaking direct to my heart, I wouldn't be here tonight. I would have been like a lot of the other people. I would just turn my back and walked away. But something in my heart changed. When I was a teenager, the Spirit of God came in my life and caused me to want to serve Him. That's why when you bring these children, you say, Brother Mike, I'm not getting anything out of church. Your children are listening.
Amen.
They'll ask you questions sometimes when you get on the road. Sometimes they'll say something when you put them in bed at night. Sometimes in the morning time. Maybe they'll say, the teacher said this, and they'll ask a question, what God said about it. Don't stop bringing them to church. Don't sit home thinking we're getting nothing out of church. Those children, they may be squirming and crying and doing all kinds of things, but they hear something.
Amen.
I'm one of six. And my dad believed in church order. And if he went, you guarantee every one of his boys looked. And the one that was misbehaving, he went, I'll get you after church. You knew you were had. You stopped immediately. God knew how to handle things. God, see, you think, well, Dad was too rough. I'm glad that my dad was rough. I'm afraid that parents today are not rough enough. I heard the other day that how that men are becoming more sissy. From the news, we had a prophet who told us that women or that men were acting more like women. Now the people of the world are saying that men are losing their strength to be real men. I hope I'm preaching to real men tonight. Men who can take a little gospel spanking every now and then. And realize that the paradox of forgiveness is that Jesus Christ loves you so much, He tells you the truth. And when you don't like it, you don't get mad and leave the church. You say, Lord, help me to do better.
Amen.
When you correct your children, do they get another daddy? No. You might want to trade him in sometimes. The children might not like the way he corrects them. But here he comes along. And he's doing things. And the children almost act like they hate them. In fact, my children have said, I hate you. You think I kicked him out the door and said, you're not my kid anymore? Uh-uh. I said, you try that again, it'll be the same results. And then after we calmed him down, we talked to him, say, now, this is why Dad had to do this. And when you say, that hurt me worse than it hurt you, they're going, I'm the one that got the spanking. They don't understand from the parents' point of view that you didn't want to give them the spanking to start with. But if you don't give the correction, the child will take control of your life and you'll not be able to handle the little guy by the time he's 10. And you wonder, where did you go wrong? I raised four of them. Got a little bit of experience. These children, they need correction because, look, this is what our world's got to today. We've got people in the Senate who don't want you to spank your children, who's made laws against whipping them. Yeah. Now, there's a difference in beating them and whipping them and spanking them, or whatever how you want to put it. There's a right way to handle all these things. You think, but brother, they won't love me. They may not love you at the minute, but if you show them what real love is, they'll come back. This is not in my notes. I'm just telling you that God is doing something tonight and he's protecting the seed of God. When he corrects you with the word, he's doing it for a reason. Amen. He's preparing you for a greater battle that's coming. Amen. You've got to understand that when you get into these trials and temptations, there's something greater that's down the road. And if you don't make it through this trial, you'll go through another trial. God's trying to prepare you for a greater thing. He makes this comment. He says, comes along, he says, the old man has died. He said, I look back there talking to that friend of mine this afternoon. He said, you remember when we used to do so and so? You remember when we threw that boy in the water that night? That was your prophet. Took somebody and threw him in the water. He says, yeah. I wouldn't do that again. Remember that time when we would stick a pin in that frog? Torturing the frog. But he wouldn't do it again. Boys, more than girls, will do things like that to animals. I used to shoot at squirrels just to see if I could hit them. I didn't want to eat them. I just wanted to see if I could hit them. That was cruel. But I wouldn't do that now. You see, these young people need to understand, unless they die to that old nature, as they grow up, the world's gone insane. They could kill somebody in a moment of rage. God needs to get a hold of your temper. Brother Branham tried to kill some people. In a moment of rage, he was ready to kill somebody. He wanted to kill these boys. You remember the story? But God in his sovereignty, oh, this is how we ought to love God. God in his sovereignty protected the man. Amen. Because he would not let that seed of God be destroyed that was in that person. And if the seed of God's in you, I guarantee you, you wouldn't do it on purpose, but God's going to protect you if you were going to do something that you didn't realize you was the son of God. And as God protected that seed, he watched over Brother Branham many, many times. He says, yeah, I said, I remember. And all these things that we done. And I thought, you know, that's when I was dead. But now I'm alive. He said, well, I don't do that. He said, now we're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And now we're here. Now we have the earnest of our salvation. The first payment. The thing cost $10,000. He's just making an illustration. The thing cost $10,000. He said, and he give us the first thousand, see? This is the first tenth of our earnest, which we've already raised from sin and unbelief up into the resurrection with Christ. And now sitting together in heavenly places with that evidence like Joshua brought back, the land's there and we're on our road, no more death. Can you believe that God has done something so tremendous in our lives that when you come to face the enemy, you can overcome him when nobody's standing there watching over you? Amen. If you can't overcome when nobody's watching you, you need to come back to the altar and pray again that God fills you with the Spirit that can overcome. Amen. We don't want you just to sit in church and say, thank God for sending a prophet and thank God for sending... That's why people are leaving the message now, because they didn't get the revelation of it. This message is reality in God. This message has, thus saith the Lord, all the way through it. This prophet brought, thus saith the Lord, regardless of what the world's saying now, God has given us something that's more powerful. Just like Joseph, the world turned against Joseph. His brothers turned against Joseph. People are turned against this message. Why do you hit that, Brother Mike? Because if you're sitting here tonight starting to doubt the message, you're going to get yourself in trouble. The prophet of God talked about that when the devil came to Eve, he could not get her on the word, so he came to her and he said the best thing he could do was get somebody to reason about the word. You don't want to reason about the word, because as soon as you do, the devil's going to take you to another realm. When you start reasoning whether the cloud was real or not, friend, you're going to get yourself in trouble. When you start reasoning where Brother Brennan was the prophet or not, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Don't reason with the devil. If they say they don't believe the prophet, say, well, I believe it, and you're just an unbeliever. Amen. That's right. How simple is that? Amen. Don't argue. Don't let them control you. Amen. Well, prove it. I don't have to prove it. I just believe it this way. They want some kind of an evidence. Here's the evidence. I'm going to keep believing it regardless of what you say. That's my evidence. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the evidence of the Holy Ghost has got to be that you're anchored in God yourself, and the devil's going to try to persuade you to come to reasoning. When you reason with the word, he's going to win. That devil will win every time. Brother Branham said as soon as Eve reasoned with the word, he said he poked a hole right through that word. Why would you want to reason with something that God vindicated? If you don't understand, and I don't understand everything that Brother Branham did, but I believe that he is undoubtedly the prophet to this age. There is no question in my mind that this is not the message of truth. I'm not here, and when people question me, well, don't you want to see what they say? No, I don't want to see what they got to say, because I don't believe in that. I believe that what I've got now is efficient. It's the evidence that God has already done something. Why would I want to go to the internet to let somebody who doesn't have a revelation change my mind? And why would I want to fight with them? I'm not there. If they want to come here, I'll tell them exactly what I believe. I'm not going into a hellhole and doing what they're doing. I'm staying right with the Word of God, and I'm not going to reason with them about it, because it's thus saith the Lord. When thus saith the Lord strikes your heart, as it did mine in 1991, I can tell you where I was at in 1991 when God brought to me the revelation of this message, and I said to my wife, I said, no man will ever change my mind about who Brother Branham is or what the message is. Why? Because when God gives it to you, there is no doubt. Amen. There is no reasoning. It becomes the paradox. Listen, friends, I shouted all through Pentecost. I spoke in tongues. I rolled the floors. That did not satisfy what I was searching for. But when I came to the revelation of the word for this day, it changed everything. Amen. As I was reading through, Brother Branham said, a lot of people, they don't get the birth of the word. When you get the birth of the word, it changes who you are. Amen. This message is already got the resurrection power in it. You believe it?
Amen.
It's got resurrection power. It's got rapturing faith. It's got the approval. It's got the stamp of approval by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God coming in and revealing it to the people who knows that they've been born by the word of Jesus Christ. He comes along, and there's several things I want to read. Listen, my heart was pulled in two different directions tonight. I've got two separate bunches of quotes that I was going to preach. And I was trying to decide which way I'm going to go here, and this is the one that's pulling me the most, that we've already got resurrection power inside of us. Amen. Brother Branham said the potential of resurrection is already there. Because if the seed of God was laying there and the Word wanted that Word, then you come in and you accept the Word of God. He said the resurrection is already in there. How many of the preachers can say that's right?
Amen.
Brother Branham said it was already in there.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. If you don't believe it's already in there, then why did the Bible say the dead in Christ shall rise first?
Amen.
Let's just say that I die and y'all have my funeral like we did Brother Frazier on Sunday. If there's no resurrection in him, he won't come up. You understand? If there's no resurrection in me, you can bury this body in the ground. And if there's no resurrection in me, I ain't coming. But if there's resurrection power and I believe with all my heart it's in there, I'm coming out. You may be having church one day and you hear somebody hollering, amen. You'll say, that sounds like Brother Mike. Where is he at? Maybe you come walking down the aisle about 30, 40 days, you know, we're walking around. And you say, I know the rapture is getting ready to take place because Brother Mike's been walking around and we buried him. Hallelujah. I don't know if the world believes this kind of message or not, but I believe there's a people in here tonight that believes this is the resurrection power of God standing in flesh again. I am what He said I am, and I believe it from the top of my head to the tip of my toes. This body's going to come submissive to the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost inside of me will keep this guy from sin. Hallelujah. How? Because there's a power that's already raised again. What are you talking about? Because if Jesus had not raised again, He could not have given us the power. And the Bible said that this power, this quickening power, would do what? It would quicken your mortal body. And if you got a mortal body and Christ is in it, then you got quickening power, and it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ living inside of here. He is the anointed Word of God. He's the one that's standing there waiting for you to catch the full revelation to take this rapture tonight. This rapture is getting ready to go. It's not getting ready to come. It's getting ready to go.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why? Because I am the results of the resurrection. I am the results of the rapture. You're looking at the rapture tonight. I'm getting ready to take a final step. What day? I don't know, but I'm just waiting on Him to say, come on higher. Brother, we'll drop off this robe of flesh and we'll step into that body. I'll tell you, God's going to do something powerful.
Amen.
Amen. I won't preach much longer. I just know that God's done something. Until I came in contact with such a message as this, I felt all the emotion. I felt all the attributes of the power of God. Because it came to me, He did not take them away. Amen. He just made me understand how powerful they really are.
Amen.
He comes along. If I can find the quote that I'm looking for here, because He talks about how that God can take care of you in such a way. He comes along and He says, in the Easter sea, He says, let somebody try to put you off the land. Say he belongs, and you with the abstract in your hand. Let him try to do it. There ain't a law in the land can do it because you hold the abstract. And there's no devil, no church, or any theologian that can overstep the boundaries of God's proof and abstract.
Amen.
You want to look that up? It's in the Easter Seal, 1965. He comes along there. He said, that baptism of the Holy Ghost has recognized us in Jesus Christ. We're just as sure to raise as He raised, because potentially we have already raised in Him. He says, amen. The old things, what does it do to our mortal bodies? It turns our opinion, changes our notions. It sets our affections on things which are above. And the smoking, drinking, gambling, and things that used to do is dead. It's beneath you. All that junk's going out of you. All that desire to suck on a cigarette, to suck on marijuana, to suck on a beer. All that desire goes out of you. All that desire to lust after the sinful things of the world. All those things that the devil's done to you. It's going out of you. Why? There's a transformation taking place. He says, and you are quickened. And this quickening power brings your body into a raptured condition already. Notice the Pentecostal people up there. When they got quickened by the Holy Spirit, listen to me. I'm just reading exactly what he said. He said, listen to me. He said, when those Pentecostal group up there on the day of Pentecost received their abstract need from God, sure, it glorified their souls. They screamed. They saw tongues of fire separated upon each of them, and it so quickened their body till they couldn't even speak in an earthly language anymore. It quickened their body to a heavenly language, the place they're going to. Quickening power of God shook their mortal body so till their entire mortal language was transfigured, transformed into an immortal language.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He didn't take it away. He said it transformed them into that. He said, till their entire mortal language was transfigured, transformed into an immortal language. What a quickening power. What something that belongs. If the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies, it shall also quicken your mortal bodies. We are quickened then by the power of the living God.
Amen.
God is now dwelling here with His attributes. And if He's dwelling with His attributes, then why are you so afraid to worship God?
Right.
We ought to be the happiest people in the world.
Amen.
We ought to be so glad that God did something inside of our soul that we can worship Him.
Amen.
That we can glorify Him. That we can raise Him up. Listen, the resurrection is already taking place in Christ, and He brought that resurrection power into us. So that if you did die, you've got it already in you. So we walk around with resurrection power already. We've already got it here. It is the anointing of God, and He's moving us. And that's why we scream. That's why we shout. That's why we worship God. That's why we say amen to the word.
Amen.
He was telling the story how that he was. So he said, Billy, I was listening to you preach one day. He said, and then all of a sudden them people started hollering amen and stuff. He says, is all that necessary? I had a brother the other day who was at the funeral. And at Brother Frazier's church, I don't know if any of you ever went to Brother Frazier's church back in the olden days. There wasn't a service went by, Brother Mary and Sister Peace might have seen some of this. There wasn't a service went by that he didn't have them all shouting and dancing to the glory of God. He'd start singing. I've never seen a song leader like him in my life. And he would not let them alone until they worshiped God. I've been there and helped them. I just let my Pentecostal shoes go to dancing. We'd shout the house down, you might say. The brother said to me, he said, I was there one day, and he said, you know, how they always get to shouting and going around the building and worshiping God, and that was before they got in the new building. He said, and there was this little lady there visiting, and said, I was just standing there, you know, worshiping God, and he said they were shouting and running around. She said, she looked at me and said, she wasn't being critical. She just said, do you think all that's necessary? He just said, well, to them it is. To them it is.
Amen.
Brother Branham comes along and, you know, is all that stuff necessary? Well, to the believer it is.
Amen.
They want to worship God.
Amen.
They want to praise God.
Amen.
They want to let God know we still believe you.
Amen.
We still amen at the word of God. Because when the resurrection's speaking to us, we want to support the word of God and say amen.
Amen.
And if you don't want to support the word and say amen, just sit there and be quiet. The rest of us will say amen.
Amen.
This amen comes not because we think we have to. It comes because we connect with what's being said.
Amen.
And as the quickening power brings your body into raptured condition. Amen. Musician, get ready to come. Amen. He said He dwells in our mortal bodies. He's also quickened your mortal bodies. We're quickened when by the power of the living God. Tongues quickened in the new heavenly language to speak to them. A rapturing up, raising up into a different atmosphere than what they had ever lived in. Also, with the new quickening life to them that come in them, it quickened their language. They spoke in a new tongues. Oh, yes. Many people went down to Brother Frazier's church and they've criticized him many, many times. And some of those very people have quit going to church. Brother Branham said, I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire. Amen. Some of y'all need some fire. Amen. Some of y'all need the Holy Ghost to burn you a little bit. Amen. Needs to singe you a little bit, get you up out of that seat. That you can stand and say, I'm one of them. I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm not trying to take us backwards to Pentecost. I'm trying to take us forward that we worship God by the power of the Holy Ghost. He's a living, breathing, anointed Word of God. And I've heard Brother Branham preaching and how that he said, oh, he said he just gets so excited. Yes, sir. He said he's feeling religious. Can you imagine feeling religious? You know what I believe that means? I believe one time he sat up on the pulpit and dangled his feet off of it one time. He got excited about what he was preaching. Amen. Listen, you ought to come to church and want to get excited about what you're hearing. Amen. Because when you go back out of here and you get to CNN and Fox News and whatever else you want to listen to and all these other hell holes, all these things are going to bore you and bring you down because of all the devastating corruption in the world. I'm not saying don't listen to it. It's just a sign that the world is going in the direction that a prophet said it was going to go in. Amen. And when I hear these things, it says, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. Brother, we shouldn't be frowning about the situation. We should be praying, God, how long? Father, how much more is it going to be? What's it going to take? We're almost there, friends. This message of God cannot be dissolved because if God planted the seed, it can only bloom. We have proof in the death of Jesus Christ. The devil tried to destroy the seed. And you know, I love to tell this part. Jesus was buried. But when he came back on the day of Pentecost, there was 120 more caught the same spirit. Brother, that was 120 people that the devil wasn't looking at. Peter got so excited about what had happened that he came out of the upper room staggering and saying, hey! We've found something. This is that Joel speak about. Amen. And he comes along and 3,000 more souls gave their heart to God. Oh, now there's 3,120 and the devil's got a big problem. Because the one he tried to destroy, he couldn't destroy him because he said, I will give you the power to overcome this devil. Brother, when God did that, so it's now he's still trying to put the fire out, but he can't do it. I don't care how many wet blankets you throw on this thing. They cannot stop this message. They cannot stop the rapture. And they cannot stop you from believing all that God has done in your life. He said it's the Holy Spirit today hunting out honest hearts that will believe that message. Everything in the Bible that was promised is to that believer. And when you accept it in its fullness, hear me, when you accept it in its fullness, and God knows that you'll do it, he gives you the abstract to that. Amen. And then every promise that's made is in your possession, and the Holy Spirit is there to quicken that to you. Amen. No wonder Jesus said, the works that I do, ye shall do also. Amen. You should not be afraid to claim your healing, claim deliverance. Because Jesus said the same power that was in him, he put in the church, and the church has the authority to put the devil to silence. He said, oh my, what kind of a people should we be? He said, how wonderful to see God's great Holy Spirit here to do that power. He said, think of it, when the Holy Ghost itself here to bear record of this hour, Jesus said so, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just give me a little more. Y'all come on up to the music. and I will stop just momentarily. But God has done something, friend, and Brother Branham's trying his best to get it to us that we need to quit looking at each other's faults and look at the Word of God and pray one for another. And if you got a fault, go get it straightened out.
Amen.
If you're sitting there holding something in your heart, you need to get forgiveness for. If there's somebody that that you're holding unforgiven, you hold it against them. You're suffering because of that unforgiveness. That unforgiveness needs to be washed out of your life. And if you want to get forgiveness, or if you want to ask somebody or tell somebody you got a problem with them, if they're a brother or sister in Christ, they will repent for whatever it is they did wrong. And sometimes people do things and they don't even know they did it to you. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. He'll take something that I said from the pulpit and say, "Do you hear Brother Mike say that?" And he'll misinterpret something that I meant. And Brother Branham said that people would misunderstand him. Listen, friends, be careful how you go out and say things. Approach the situation right before God, because if you don't, then you're sowing discord among the brethren. And God said that's an abomination. Abomination. To sow discord among the brethren. You go talking bad about a brother or a sister and you're spreading something that's not exactly the full truth and you thought within yourself you had the truth. Be careful. The devil's going to use that thing because he's already weakened you and you're reasoning about something that you don't have the full truth about. God is able to set every person free. Every believer. There's one more place in there if I can just see it. Let me just look real fast. He comes in there. Listen, we're not. He talks about the believers. Let me just quote it best I can. He says he's coming down through there and he's preaching to the believers. And that all that God has given is for the believers. He's obligated. Brother Branham said, God is obligated to the believer. He's not obligated to the unbeliever. He's not obligated to the make-believer. But if you're a believer, God is obligated. The prophet of God said God is obligated to bring it to pass in your life. And your life will become a witness for God when you say amen to the word of God. And if there's anything standing in your way, you'll ask God to forgive you and you'll ask whoever it is to forgive you too.
Amen.
Grace is greater
Amen.
Than all your sin.
Amen.
No matter what you've done or where you've been.
Amen.
I think about that song a lot. How that God's grace is so powerful to change everything in your life.
Amen.
Let me just close right here. This anointed word is for an anointed people. People will sit even in the church of the congregation of the message of the hour and not get it. They'll sit right in the church, maybe all of their life, in a message church and never get the revelation. They'll understand a lot of things that's being quoted and said and never get the full baptism of the Holy Ghost because they never went far enough. You've got to come to Christ and let Him wash you.
Amen.
Take away all the reasoning, all the doubts, all the bad situations. The God that I serve, the God that Joshua serves, he said you can serve all those other gods. You can serve a false prophecy if you want to. You can serve the false doctrines of the internet if you want to. But Joshua said, for me, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord God that's real. The Lord God that presented the message. The Lord God that approved the message, that vindicated the message. That's the Lord God I'm going to worship tonight. And from the depths of my heart, I want to say amen that God gave us something that the world doesn't have a hold of. But you tonight have the authority of the word to say amen,
amen.
To every word of God and put the devil to silence. Oh, my brothers and sisters, don't be guilty of taking your idea of the message and making it a different word than what it's supposed to be. God help me to never do that. Help me to never say a wrong thing. If I do, I need to be corrected. If I do, I want to repent. You say, do you mean it, Brother Mike? Yes. But I can't repent if you don't tell me. I can't get it straight if we don't get it right. If you misunderstood something I said, let me know. And I'll try to explain it. You say, Brother Mike, you're getting yourself set up. No. I'm willing. If I've made any wrong statement, I'm willing to get it straight before God. I don't want to be a hindrance to you or to anybody that sits in this congregation. Because if I said something and you take it to somebody else, oh my, what a problem it can be. Help us, Lord. Amen. Brother Branham said if we're going to do anything, he said, let's fight in the backyard. If we're real brothers in Christ, let's fight in the backyard. So that when we come out here, everybody knows we believe the same thing. Amen. It's time. This rapture is getting ready to go. How about you? Are you getting ready to go? Let's just stand. Amen. Maybe I didn't get it all preached like you wanted it. Me and that devil's fighting a lot. How about you? He comes around, listen, friends. He uses people to try to bring you down. But God uses His Word. He said that the devil, He said, look, when He started out, this was the other message. Let me touch it just a moment here. He said that the Lord knew that there was going to be a warfare. And that God was going to equip His people, His bride. And that He wouldn't change the way He equipped them. And He said He would equip them with the Word. Amen. Amen. It is the Word.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Am I losing the voice? Okay. This one's going in and out. Give me the blue one. Amen. God is so good to us. He's helped us in so many ways. Just a little bit more volume. I'm struggling with my voice a little bit now. Why don't you just bow your head for a minute. What God has done, He did it to get a bride. He's done it to show a particular group of people that I am the Lord God. I am the one who's come to possess your vessel. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? The only house that you really should be working on is this temple that you dwell in right now. Let this be the temple of the Lord. Let this be the power of the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. Let that forgiveness run from heart to heart. See through, look beyond their faults and see their needs tonight. Sister Cindy, that song, Grace, Grace, God's Grace. Just quietly play that for a moment. Amen. You believe it's God's grace? God's grace. Help us, Lord. Let's just pray for a moment. Try your best to see if there's anything that we need to change in our life that God can do the greater work. Lord Jesus, help me. I don't want to point a finger at no brother. I know the enemy will try his best to cause us to see something in the life of one of your children. That's the devil. And Brother Branham talked about that he would come so.
He wouldn't come evil looking. He would come in a way that would present himself that he could overthrow somebody, that he could deceive them. Lord, help me to make sure that I'm not caught by that trap. Help my brothers and sisters to believe that they're not caught by that trap. Lord, that your power is causing us, if we've studied the Word of God, if we've studied the enemy, then we'll know what his attack is. And if we're really brothers and sisters in Christ, we will forgive one another and love one another so that the power of God can set the captive free. He can heal the sick, the brokenhearted, those that are imprisoned. Lord, we need the unity of the Spirit in the church. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to rule and reign in our lives. Help us, oh God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, take the words of life. Help us, oh God. We pray for Sister Jocelyn's aunt who's passed away this morning. We pray for the family. Lord, that you would bless them. It's time of grief. I think about our precious Sister Frazier. I believe they said they've been married for 61 years. It'll be hard to not be able to say good morning. What would you like to eat? What can I do for you today? Help us to cherish every moment that we have with our loved ones, with our children. Lord, one day they may be taken away. Help us to be faithful, Lord. Help us to have grace and to love one another.
Grace, grace, God. Oh.
God's grace is greater than all of our sin. No matter where you went, no matter what you've done, God's grace. He can control you if you yield to His Spirit. He can wash you if you will accept His Word. Because He says He washes you by the water of the Word. That's the grace that's greater than anything. Amen. Amen. To be like Jesus.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus.
The resurrection power.
On earth I long to be like Him all through life's journey from earth to glory. I only ask
to walk like Jesus, walk like Him.
To walk like Jesus. To walk like Jesus. On earth, I long to walk like Him.
Like Jesus. Talk like Jesus because you are the attribute of Jesus. You are the Messiah. You are Miss Jesus Christ. He gives you all the authority to overcome every demon spirit in this life. We should be possessing the gate of our enemy, not letting him possess us. Brother Branham said, if you got that power, you can possess everything you need. In Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to say welcome to Brother Christopher Blay. God bless you. Brother Oliver. God bless you. Thank you, brothers, for coming over. Amen. We appreciate these brothers being here tonight. Amen. It's a blessing of the Lord. Don't forget our meetings that are coming up. I feel like I need to say something there, but let's just sing this song. There's power in the blood. I just want to sing just a little bit. We sing there's power in the name of Jesus. And that's where it is. There's no other name given under heaven whereby a man can be saved. But you got to come through the blood.
There. Wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I know there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I that I'm saved. And I know I'm saved. And I know I'm so glad to know that I'm saved. Sanctified. And I know I am sanctified. And I know I'm sanctified. And I know I'm so glad to know that I am. Got the Holy Ghost. And I know that I have got the Holy Ghost. And I know that I have got the Holy Ghost. And I know that I am. I'm so glad to know I am. I'm saved. And I know I am. I'm saved. And I know I am. I'm saved. And I know I am. I'm so glad to know I am. I'm in the bride. And I know I am. I'm in the bride. And I know I am. I'm in the bride. And I know I am. I'm so glad to know that I am. Well, sanctified. And I know I have been sanctified. And I know I am sanctified. And I know